is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
All eyes on the banking system in Europe and America. However, at the same time, people watching Asia puzzle about the recovery of the Chinese economy from the pandemic and from the lockdown and from the policies of the Communist Party these last years. We have a headline in Asia. Gordon Chang of @GordonG Chang joins me to comment. China sees first net capital outflow in more than 2 years. Subhead, declines in exports and investments from overseas shrink inflows. Gordon, my understanding is that the Chinese aspiration now, announced most recently at the National People's Congress, is a 5% growth. That is not going to be helped by net capital outflow. Do I connect those two things correctly? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. And yes, the outflow actually is a result of pessimism of people inside China. And the real question is, will this first quarter of 2023 change people's minds? I mean, there is some inflow this quarter. There are some numbers which are obviously an improvement over a year ago. But the issue is going to be what the Chinese people ultimately think of the direction, not only of their economy, but also in general of their society. And that will, I think, be a critical test for the new premier and for Xi Jinping.
We welcome Ann Stevenson Yang, our guide on the Chinese economy as it is now, not the aspiration of 5%. Ann, a very good evening to you. The net outflow, what does that mean for other investors who are invited into China? Does this worry them, or is the net outflow a normal business cycle following a recession? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think the outflow is of principal concern to the Chinese banking authorities, who are seeing, it appears that they're seeing a lot of effort by Chinese people to get their money overseas and then perhaps their bodies overseas. But it's clear that Chinese statistics are deteriorating. Just since 2021, we've seen almost a $400 billion discrepancy between the trade surplus that customs reports and the trade surplus that the banking authorities report. And it's just like, you know, $400 billion. How can you just like have that go missing?
The 5% goal announced at the National People's Congress, what does that mean? Is that to encourage everybody? Is that boasting? Is that completely utopian? How do you regard that, Ann?
Well, John, what the 5% or whatever percent they set the target at is principally an internal directive to invest a certain amount of money. So the domestic institution that owns Chinese state-owned enterprises creates their budgets and their investment plans, and the investment plans are geared to the GDP target. So it's really a signal that says this is the amount that we're willing to invest. And since the economy is really only growing, you know, if it's growing at all, it's growing at like 1%. Then 5% means, oh, you get more money than you might expect.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
Ann, we heard a lot from the new premier, Li Qiang, at the National People's Congress. But it seems to me that in general for China this year, and this is true for most countries, that the dominant force will be what happens in the global financial sector. Everyone's talking, of course, about Silicon Valley Bank. But far more important are the worsening problems of Credit Suisse. What do you think China, as it views problems in the Western banking system, how does it view that and how does it try to protect itself?
Well, I think we have a good example of that in 2008, 2009, when China looked out over the banking crisis internationally and decided, damn, we're too dependent on the international world. We have to just invest packs and packs of money domestically in order to create optical growth domestically. So that's what they did. But they've never really weaned themselves from exports as the motor of growth. So that's got to have them sweating bullets.
The Reuters are giving us a positive headline about China's economy, and I'd like an interpretation. China's economic activity picked up in the first 2 months of 2023 as consumption and infrastructure investment drove recovery from pandemic disruption, despite challenges of weak global demand and persistent downturn in the property sector. My understanding is Evergrande is the property sector. Weak global demand is. We might be in recession here. Certainly Europe might be as well. But what about this domestic consumption? Is that a big factor for Chinese economy? Is that something new, Anne?
I have not seen numbers for March, and we're in the middle of March. The consumption numbers through February were very, very poor. So I don't know where that idea comes from. We're waiting for numbers on auto sales in order to fit out the consumption numbers, and auto sales have been drastically bad. This is partly because of the end of a tax cut that happened in December, so people bought ahead of that. But now we're talking about some of the biggest Chinese companies like Dongfeng Auto possibly going bankrupt, and everybody else offering subsidies of up to 100,000 renminbi. That's like $15,000 that you get in return for buying a BMW. So I don't see how consumption could be good. Investment in infrastructure, well, you know, when the Chinese government pours cash into the economy, they invest in infrastructure. So that's no surprise. It doesn't mean the economy is good.
Gordon, you have a question.
And I saw, I think it was a retail sales number for the combined January-February period of like up 3.5%. But that seems to be, as you point out, really weak, because even if that number is accurate, and I'd have questions about it, it's off of an extremely low base, which is last year, where China was in complete lockdown. And if there is supposed to be this consumption-led recovery, 3.5% just doesn't do it. It seems to me that you've got to rely on exports, probably not going to drive the Chinese economy this year, because we've seen the export numbers for the combined January-February period, and they weren't very good either. And as you say, this is infrastructure. But there's already too much debt. They've built everything that they've already need. I just don't see where this is going.
Yeah, I think you're right, Gordon. That was the top of the estimate coming out of the investment banks, that it might be up to 3.5%. As far as I know, autos have still not come in, so we don't have a definitive number. Although maybe, you know, I haven't looked this morning, so maybe not. But yeah, a very low base. And this is sort of surprising, because you would think that during 3 years of very intense lockdowns, people would have saved money. But what we're hearing from people on the ground is they've become very anxious about the economy. First of all, they didn't get subsidies while they were, a lot of them are unemployed. And they've become very anxious about the Chinese economy. So apart from taking maybe one international trip as a sort of celebration of coming out of lockdown, they're saying, oh, yeah, I just want to save whatever money I have.
Those anecdotes, Anne, in the Pearl River Valley about teachers and first responders not getting their full pay, are those still accurate anecdotes, or is that behind them now? Have they righted the ship?
I think it's getting worse, John. I mean, we don't have a ton of information. We have to rely on what people post on social media in China, and that often gets deleted quickly after they post. But and also what people say anecdotally. But you know, local governments were down 2 trillion renminbi in their land transfer income last year, and that's a very substantial portion of their budget. So they just don't have a lot of money, and they've been allowed to issue special bonds to build infrastructure, but only to build infrastructure, not to supply their operating budgets.
And Stevenson Yang, our guide on the Chinese economy right now, the aspiration is 5%, but as Anne tells us, that's a target to tell everybody how much they should risk, how much they should invest. Anne is the author of the upcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.